Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Trouble with the Snap podcast as we document Michigan State, Michigan football and basketball. We got a lot to cover today on the show. Obviously, Michigan State 10-7 losers to Arizona State, and we're going to dive right in. There's just so much to cover here. There's a lot to cover in a short time. We're going to try to hit on all those spots today. Tyler is going to join me momentarily. I'm going to give you my little spiel here, and you know what? It's not going to be pretty. It's just bad offensive football, guys. It's bad offensive football. It looks so similar to last season. It looks worse in some areas. And it's just a bad string of seasons now of pedestrian offensive football. It just is. I like to call it how I see it. People wanted to get on Jim Harbaugh in Michigan last week. Have every right to. Speed and space? Where was it? Hey, turnovers? Yeah. Miscues, hurts, penalties. But the play calling was atrocious. The decision making was atrocious against Army. People wanted to harp on it? You have every right to. That coach makes a lot of money. Those coaches on offense make a lot of money. You expect a better product. Imagine what would happen in Ohio if the things that happened in Michigan at Spartyland and in Ann Arbor took place. Just think about that. The world would flip upside down. That's what would happen. Ryan Day, they would want him out right now. I'm going to tell you something right now. The standard's different, guys. It's different over there. And if Ohio State loses a game even, they're not going to be happy. Ryan Day is expected to be great, and that offense already, with a new quarterback, is firing on all cylinders. I just want to remind people, Indiana's not a bad football team. Ohio State treated them like a high school JV team. They were prepared to kick Indiana in the teeth, and they weren't going to stop. Everything that they ran made sense. They put their talented players in right positions. They gave the ball to their best player, J.K. Dobbins, because he's the man, in my opinion, still. Justin Fields, there's an argument that he could be that guy. They just do everything that makes sense. And in my opinion, it's everybody else playing for second place. If Ohio State plays their best game, you're not beating them. They got too much talent. They got coaches that have a clue. And they don't make mind-boggling decisions. They just don't. They do stuff that makes sense. They have a running quarterback, they use him. They have RPOs that make sense. They throw to receivers in space that have great speed, it makes sense. When things don't go their way, they continue to fight and they find a way to get it done. There's just a different standard there. And in Michigan, in our state, with Michigan State and Michigan, a lot of talk, not a lot of action. If you're Michigan State, you're sitting here with coaches that you didn't change on offense. And I'll be honest with you, Brad Salem didn't call a terrible game throughout the course of the game. There was bad decisions at times. But, hey, Arizona State had zone coverage. They threw slant routes over the middle in front of it. Looked really good. Darryl Stewart played like a man. You bring a guy in like Barnett, a great freshman. Where is he? Why are they not playing him more? He makes one play, and yeah, he gets a false start. He's a young player. He hasn't played any. And then you just don't see anything with him again. I don't understand it. You get to the red zone or close. Did they ever practice in East Lansing situational plays when you get to the red zone that makes sense? I really wonder. You're playing against short corners. Arizona State had tiny corners. You have Darryl Stewart and Cody White, much bigger. Did it occur that maybe we can design a few plays and go up top to our bigger receivers who have a lot of experience? Did it ever occur to Michigan State people that that may work? They're raving about the new running back. Elijah Collins looks really good, guys. If you're a Spartan fan, you should feel excited about the running back position. But on fourth down and one, we put Connor Hayward in. Why? What was the point? Did you not think that the other team knew, hey, this is their power back. They're probably going to give it to him on a simple dive. Be a little more creative. And, you know, that goes both sides, Michigan and State. We're going to be more creative. And I'll be honest, the first game, Middle Tennessee State, you know, they had some creative stuff. They kind of opened up the playbook. It looked good. You play against Army, a physical team, and it all went away. Doesn't make sense. It makes zero sense that you could get paid that much money and do the things that Michigan and Michigan State do. Mind-blowing. None of it makes sense. I don't understand it. Look, players make mistakes. It's going to happen. Young kids do things that are, you know, not like pros. I mean, the kickers aren't usually as good. The kicker missed two kicks. I don't want to hear about, well, if we make the kicks, then it's a different game. You got to score touchdowns. You got to score touchdowns against Arizona State. You're a superior team. You have better athletes. We shouldn't even be talking about field goals. Punch it down their throat and score touchdowns. It's not that difficult. Or is it? Or maybe the thing is they don't have good players. I don't know. But I don't think that's the case. I think Michigan State has really good players. They have great athletes, talented kids. They're just not in the right spots. They're just not in the right spots, period. End of story. There's no, you can't have an argument for me that says, well, you know, the coaches are doing all they can. How in the world are they? Tyler's with me now, and I know we're going to have the discussion, but Tyler, I mean, I'm just touching on it. I'm blown away by the decision making of the offensive coaches for Michigan State. And help me out here, because I can't find anything that tells me the coaches did a good job.
Well, I mean, I think there's obviously some things that you can look at that do tell you that. Michigan State outgained Arizona State by almost 200 yards. You look at some of the change of possession calls, the Kenny Willekes strip sack that got called back due to a phantom hand to face. Now, ultimately, look, this isn't on the refs, all right? The refs screwed up, they stuck, and they did Michigan State no favors, and they did Arizona State a few of them. But ultimately, this, yeah, it does fall on the coaches because they didn't finish when they were driving. And they couldn't stop Arizona State at the end, burning the two timeouts. I said it yesterday when I went live. That's the stupidest thing you could do. Do you really need to call a timeout to get Kenny Willekes ready, to get Joe Bocci ready, to get Josiah Scott ready, to get Boyer Randall, who was in for whatever reason, to take upon
it? Mind-blowing.
Yeah, you don't need those timeouts. Do you want to know who needs those timeouts? Arizona State to set stuff up. That's who needs those timeouts, and you gave them two of them.
It's just bad. I mean, here's the problem. I said this, and look, number one, I said these 2 weeks we're going to find out a lot about Michigan State. I still think, and look, I hate to say it, but I'm just going to say it because this is what Sparties want to hear. Mark D'Antonio will say it. All of our goals are still in place, whatever. Okay, so they are, though. They can beat Northwestern. They can get back on the Big Ten train, and who knows what could happen. Here's the problem, the major problem. Those are teams you have to beat. You have to beat Arizona State. You got to punch it down their throat. I don't want to hear about missed field goals. I don't want to hear about missed calls. That's a team where no matter what happens, you're better than, you're more talented than, and you got to find a way to score touchdowns. They had no game plan that made sense when they got close to the end zone. There was nothing that made sense with their designs. And it's just, I don't understand it. And you know what's sad, and we all can say the same thing. The defense is so good. I mean, I'm not a State guy, but I'll tell you what, I'm inspired when I watch that defense. You know what, if I'm the offensive coaches, let's get a little more inspired and say, Jesus, guys, all we got to do is find a way to score some touchdowns because our defense is so good. And I just, you know, the thing is, we can rant and rave all we want. How do we make a difference, though, Tyler? I mean, I'm a solution guy. What do you do to make it better on offense?
Well, I think ultimately what one of the things that needs to happen, and you don't want to play this card again because it got overplayed like just crazy last year, is you've got to get at least one of your left tackles healthy. I think that's one thing. when you get closer to the goal line, the offense, you become more dependent on the offensive line. And look, you already had your best interior lineman playing left tackle, and now he's hurt because your two starting left tackles are hurt. You've got to get them healthy to at least an extent. You've got to at least get Kevin Jarvis back. AJ Arcuri, I think, has been come with time. Cole Kuhn, you know, it sucks to say, I think his career's over. That's the first thing that needs to happen. If you want to get better around the goal line, that's what you need, is you need offensive linemen. Michigan State doesn't run those power sets that, you know, everyone's so enthralled with, that they've seen for the past however many years Michigan State's had football. And, it still helps with zone blocking to have your more talented bigs, your quicker big guys around. I think that's one thing that they need to do. The other thing that they need to do is stop giving second and third chances to players that really shouldn't be playing. It sucks to say, because some of them are my favorite players on the team. And that starts with Baby Ironhead. You know, that starts with Connor Hayward. He has no business playing. If you want to plug him in as a fullback, or you want to put him in the slot because he has great hands, fine. But don't put him in at the end of game over Elijah Collins. Don't put him in even over Ant Williams. And, I mean, I guess you could kind of say the same for Ladarius Jefferson. Look, the kid is the kid's talented. He has the athletic ability to be a superstar at the Division I level somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where that is. It's not as a running back, and it doesn't look like it's going to be an East Lansing, because Collins did jump him, because Ant Williams looks like he's going to eventually jump him. And so those are the two things you guys do. I mean, I think everybody who's playing right now, besides maybe at the running back position, you know, they all deserve it, you know. The top three receivers. I'd like to see a little bit more Larice Nelson. Not 100% sure what's going on with that after, his first week. He got bumped for C.J. Hayes as the third receiver in week two, and C.J. Hayes had a pretty good week, so they gave him a lot more reps in week three. So I'd like to see a little bit more Larice Nelson, because Hayes obviously decided not to show up for the Arizona State game, and I don't know if he was just covered by Arizona
too.
State.
Barnett as well.
Yeah, Barnett, I'd love to see a little bit more of. I think he's going to end up sliding into a split role with Cam Chambers as that fifth receiver, because of Cam Chambers doing the law school thing and D'Antonio letting him try to do football and that, you know, which credit to that kid. But you've got to play your best players, and eventually Barnett's going to make his way up the list. I wouldn't be surprised if he passes Larice Nelson, maybe even C.J. Hayes at the end of the season, because he's just that talented. And look, I'll admit it. Look, I was right about Daryl Stewart. You know, I've been right about a lot of things this year with this Michigan State football team. You know, changing the scheme doesn't necessarily mean you change the philosophy. Obviously, we freaking saw that Saturday. But I was wrong on Julian Barnett. I thought this kid would have been a great cornerback. And he's done a solid job as a receiver. Obviously, you know, time will tell if he ends up fully developing there, or if MSU does move him back to the back end on defense. But you know, Julian Barnett provides that excitement. And, I mean, he put up fights with some of those Arizona State defensive backs. So, you know, they run that aggressive 3-3-5 defense. And so I think that's another thing that happened in the red zone, is it just closed up the passing lanes. And since you're not a threat to run, because you're trying to put Jefferson in there, you know, you became susceptible to, the defense being in your huddle.
Here's the problem with Michigan State and Michigan. It's very simple. You have two programs. All the stuff you said, I agree with. Here's the main issue. You've got two football teams who are accustomed to being power football teams, You have two quarterbacks, and I'm sorry to say it, but they're not runners, really. You can say they're dual threat all you want. They're really not. Lewerke's a solid runner. He can escape. He can get away. There's design runs for him that are pretty good. Shea Patterson, if he finds a way to understand the zone read RPO stuff, he can be an okay runner at times. But this isn't Justin Fields. This isn't, Jalen Hurts. We don't have that. So you can't get away fully from power football. Does it ever occur to people that you don't have to run a certain type of offense the whole game? You know, Michigan, I'd love to get down there and say, hey, by the way, the Ben Mason fullback stuff can still be in the package. You can still use it on 4th-and-1. Hello. But apparently, we're speed and space, but we're not going to use speed and space. We're just going to look like we're going to use it. And that's where Michigan is, and that's where State is. So you got – I mentioned this earlier, Tyler. It's like an identity crisis. I mean, you got guys on the offensive line that are not used to running up-tempo from both schools. So you're going to have mistakes. I think I've been right just like you a lot this year already. I said Michigan's going to make a lot of mistakes in this new offense. What's happened? They have made a lot of mistakes. It's a lot of faking. It's different. Quarterback's putting the ball on the ground. We don't look very good. So there's times when you got to say, let's go back to some things that worked last year. Let's go back to some power football or things that work for us that make sense. We're so one-dimensional as offenses for both schools. You don't have to be speed and space the whole game. You don't have to be an RPO team the whole game. And I'd argue that this coaching staff at Michigan State primarily is clueless on what to run, what works. And I'll be honest with you, Tyler, I think they have the players to do big things. I thought the stuff that Salem called with the tight ends through the seam was outstanding. I thought Dotson looked fantastic. The other tight end, please help me out. What's his name? I have a hard time figuring out. He's got long hair. He looked fantastic. Thank you. Why can't we run that stuff when we get to the red zone? You got big tight ends. You got big receivers playing against midget corners. Find a way to realize what you can use, what will work to win football games. Michigan State, clueless. Offensive coaches, clueless. Have no idea what to run when it matters the most. And I'm sorry. A lot of the fans are crying about the kicks. You're right. Field goal kickers miss kicks, and that definitely played a part. You're going to probably win a real close game with those two made kicks. I think the last kick it's just mind-blowing. The officials sucked. Terrible. They should have called the jumping over the center. It was ridiculous. But you should not be in that position. You're too talented to lose Arizona State. Score, touchdown. I blame it 100% on the offensive coaches. And it's right at D'Antonio's feet. Everybody's saying that. It's true. And I just don't know what you do to get over this. I mean, I'm sorry, Tyler. I would be blown away if this football team, from what we're seeing, can make a turnaround and possibly win that division. I just don't even know how it's possible. I mean, you have to fix it so quick. And you have a stubborn offensive coaching staff who doesn't want to change. They don't want to be diverse. They don't run stuff that makes sense. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, there's no way, in my opinion, that it can be fixed this quick. And they just look unprepared.
I think the offensive coaches, they have been diverse this season. You look at a couple of the short yardage plays at Arizona State. Now, granted, they didn't all work because, you know, Michigan State has had issues with power football. Since 2014, more or less, 2015. Since 2015, Michigan State's had issues with power football. But you still saw the occasional two tight end set. You got your fullback. It's an off-balance eye, and you hand it off for a power O to Elijah Collins. Like, they still do incorporate that. I think they are diverse. The problem is they just didn't get it done in the red zone against Tulsa. They didn't get it done in the red zone against Arizona State. And so that's the one thing
kind of
they need to
fix. It's a little important.
It is, and that's the one thing
kind
they need to
deal.
Fix. I think one of the things that they need to do a little bit more in those situations, they need to put Lewerke on the run. That's when he's at his best. And they do the shotgun there, and they do goal line stuff, but they need to roll him out. They need to run some more of those read options, closer to the goal line. It seems like they have no problem running that type of stuff, you know, heading up to the goal line, but once they get closer, they kind of back off from it. And I think part of it is Mielorki's health. You saw what Michigan State was without Brian Mielorki as the signal caller last season. They don't want to go through that again. And if you try running him on the goal line, that's when things get a little dicey. And I think that's one of the reasons they're pulling it off. But that they need – I mean, obviously, over the last 3 weeks, you know, it's been proven that they need in Mielorki's hands and let him make the decision. You can still call the plays, but you need to have him roll out. If he has room to run, run the ball. If he has to dump it off to Siebert or Dawson or Gillison, whatever tight end is in, then give it to him. If you need to if you need to throw a fade route to Daryl Stewart or Cody White, those options are available. You have a billion different options. You just have to go with your quarterback because he's the one who's going to make it all run down there because he showed. Last year was a fluke. Last year was an injury-proven thing. He's second in the Big Ten in passing right now. Give him the ball.
I don't want to hear about
I'm not talking about last year. I'm saying Mielorki sucked last year because he was hurt. This year, he's proven that he is a lot closer to 2017 than he was 2018, and so he's capable of making those plays.
Don't be that guy. You're better. Tyler, you're way better than that. You have knowledge. Don't be those fans like Michigan fans or State fans. Here's the problem. I get what you're saying. I don't care about last year. Here's what I want to add to the quarterback deal. And this is what is going to be very clear, and if people understand this, they will fully get where I'm going. Number one, Dylan McCaffrey from Michigan needs to be the starting quarterback. Why? It makes more sense. Is Shea Patterson not as good as him? I don't think that's the case. This offense makes more sense because you want to run with the quarterback to play Dylan McCaffrey. I would argue that even though Harbaugh is a loon and a nutbag, and he has no idea what the hell he's doing either at times, he does play guys. He does find a way to get McCaffrey in. I don't think it's that great the way he does, but I was calling for Lombardi last year. I know you didn't like it. I'm not saying that he's better than Mielorki. If you want to run with the quarterback, though, Lombardi's a better fit for running. He's more physical. He's just as fast in ways. I think Mielorki probably going to race wins. I don't know. I mean, I'm not out here with my clock and stopwatch, but all I know is when I see Lombardi run, he's a more physical runner. When he's a good thing. But if you're going to get hurt all the time running, like you said, then why run it with the quarterback? And I think that's why they don't. Look at Shea Patterson. He takes off, runs like a madman, first game of the year, gets drilled, night hurt. So it's like, why are we doing this? Why are we running with a quarterback who's just fragile? It reminds me of Tate Forcier. And you know, it's just that's where both programs are. Not playing the right guys that makes sense. And I'm not saying there's quarterback controversy, but I'll be honest, sometimes you got to make tough decisions. And that's two programs that are not willing to do that. Coaches who are making millions and millions of dollars that can't make tough decisions. Mark D'Antonio can't get better offensive coaches. Don't know why. He feels like he has to keep the same guys.
I think Salem's doing a great job this year outside of that red zone, outside of the red zone issues last weekend. I think Salem's done a great job.
Salem did a good job.
He's improved his offense. He has the second. He has the second leading rusher in the Big Ten. He has the second leading receiver in the Big Ten. And he has the second leading passer in the Big Ten. Elijah Collins has more rushing.
With seven points.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying is he's done a good job. He needs to work on goal line stuff. He's not been a coordinator since he's joined the Michigan State program. And like every job, it does take a little bit of warming up. You completely flip the script on how you are running your offense. You are not running power football anymore. You flip the script, and you have somebody new who's calling the shots. It's a smooth transition to make compared to bringing in a whole new offensive coordinator and a whole new offensive staff. But it's still a transition that you have to make. Ohio State's not doing much different than what they did last year. Ryan Day was their offensive coordinator. He's now the head coach. He's still calling most of those shots. And so
yeah, he did pretty good right away.
And even That's an even smoother transition because he's still calling the shots on offense. Dave Warner's not calling the shots. You have somebody new doing it. You have somebody who hasn't done it in, I want to say, at least 6 years, but I could be wrong on that. And so it's going to take a little bit of an adjustment period. That said, it's still a better adjustment. It's an easier adjustment to make than bringing in the whole new offensive staff. I think what Salem's doing is a good job. He had 404 yards against the stingy 335 Arizona defense, where you have no idea where the blitz is coming from. I think the offensive line made the right calls to pick up most of those blitzes. I think the running backs did a good job picking up their guys. I think that Brad Salem has done a great job. There is an adjustment period, and the toughest part of calling plays is when you are in the red zone because the space tends to shrink quite a bit. And
well, that's why you get paid well. That's why you get paid a half a million dollars a year to know what the hell you're doing near the red zone. That's why you make that much money.
And it does that a lot during those against those 3-3-5 type defenses that Arizona run. Now, if he has a little bugaboo, something that he can't get over, maybe they'll incorporate something else to try to help him with those types of defenses. But right now, look, this is the best that you have. It was a good move so far. And obviously, you know, we'll have to wait till the end of the year to completely dissect how good of a move it actually was. But right now, I think it's paying dividends. It will eventually pay off in the long run throughout the course of this season. The defense is too good to put Michigan State's offense in crappy positions a lot of the time. And I think that, like I said, and like you said, the talent is there for this team. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a problem. I think it was something where there were a couple hiccups. There were a couple missed opportunities. Obviously, you know, field goals with field position just as well as anything else. And I think that it's the move that, look, Michigan State made the right call so far. Does that mean that I'm going to feel that way, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks? No, but up to this point, I think they've done a good job.
Well, I mean, look, we could go back and forth and argue. That's not what I'm trying to do here. My point is I'm here for you guys, the Spartan fans, the people that have support of this program who pay their hard-earned money to go to these games. And, you know, you're playing against a coach this weekend who had a whole lot to say about fans not showing up. Well, guess what, Pat? If your offense stinks the way they do in Northwestern, why would anyone want to show up? Why would they want to spend this money? There's a lot of other things in life that people aren't going to spend money on that isn't any good. So, I mean, this is just where it is. Michigan State should have a high standard. And I'm reading the things from some fans, and some fans have a clue. You have a clue because you understand and you actually study the team. Some people don't even do that. But some of these fans, all I hear is excuse, whine. And here's the problem. That's very Michigan-like. Here's the issue. You don't lose to Arizona State. That's a Pac-12 average football team. You score touchdowns on them. You know what they have. Oh, they run 3-3-5. What, do they not go against it all week in practice? You should understand what to do. I thought Brad Salem's did an outstanding job with the slant routes to Darryl Stewart underneath coverage. You find a way to go underneath coverage. That's how you beat that defense. Now, if you're saying we just struggle with 3-3-5, well, God, every team that they play against should run it then because they won't score any points. I mean, you've got to be ready for everything. You're making $500,000 a year as the OC. Your head coach is making upward to $4.3 million this year. He'll get even $4.4 more in his salary if he's still the coach January 15th. I'm talking about these guys make a lot of money. They don't seem to have a clue on how to run certain things, certain areas of the field, and I think that's mind-blowing. Now, if you want average and you want mediocre and it's, hey, we'll just see and we'll get better, go ahead. Root for Rutgers. Root for Illinois. They're pretty average. God, Illinois can't even beat Eastern Michigan. So that's not where you guys are, Tyler. You're bigger than that. This is Michigan State. D'Antonio's won Big Ten championships. You should expect more. I know you should expect more.
Oh, the expectation to kick the crap out of Arizona State was there. And like I said, I think, you know, unfortunately, at the end of the game, the only thing that mattered, the scoreboard, was the only thing that didn't show that MSU completely dominated that performance. And what I'm saying is there is inexperience. And with inexperience, there are losses that come into play. Now, I'm not saying the inexperience is on D'Antonio's end, and I'm not saying that him botching the timeout situation and clock management before the half and clock management at the end of the game, I'm not forgiving any of that. He knows better. He should have known better. And we talked about that earlier. What I am excusing is the fact that you have a new, young offensive coordinator who, look, I just started a new position at my job. I'm having some struggles with certain things. I know most of it, but I'm having struggles with certain things. That's going to happen because
you're not making $500,000 a year, though.
No, I am making what I am paying for my stuff.
I wish
stuff.
You were. Then we would.
What?
Gosh, I would even ask for a season ticket package with you. Hey, Tyler, can you spot me?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is for the stuff that I know, I cannot go out there and I can't call plays from the 20 to the 20, like Brad Salem has done very, very well. Where his issue is in the red zone. Again, I can't call plays from that or whatever. He's having a couple struggles with that. That's what I'm likening it to. And so I don't think it's that big of a deal that they're struggling in the red zone right now. I think it's a situation where they can get it fixed. They're looking at different things that have worked. They're looking at newer formations that or older formations, depending on how you want to look at it. We haven't seen it since 2008. The Maryland Eye, where you have two tight ends, two fullbacks in front of your running back. Michigan State ran that a little bit this year already. And I think I think there's still a feeling out process as far as some of that goes, and I think Brad Salem's eventually going to figure it out. They have the talent to get it done. They have the talent to push the ball into the end zone. It's like I said, it's an inexperienced thing. I think it's something that they can figure out. You know, every team goes through stuff like this. Some teams like Alabama are fortunate enough to schedule Georgia Southern and get away with that garbage. And, you know, UL Lafayette and the Helen Keller School of the Blind and all that Hanover Horton High School, whatever you want to freaking call it.
Oh, I didn't think we would go to Alabama today. You had to. You had to do that.
And so Michigan State doesn't play those garbage opponents at the beginning of the year every year. Or pretty much any other team in the SEC not named Auburn or LSU or Georgia.
Yep.
Like, Michigan State doesn't get that ability to do that. Do they do it? Yeah, they had Tulsa and Western Michigan. Both teams suck. But Arizona State is not one of those types of teams. And so when you're still going through this feeling out process, there's going to be some hiccups. Unfortunately, Michigan State had a massive one on Saturday and maybe a little bit of dry heaving to go with it. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to figure it out. It's an inexperienced thing. They'll figure it out. It's something that, you know, like I said, they're trying new things. They brought in a brand new offensive system, even though the coach has been there for a minute. The system is brand new for everybody on that program, with the exception of Brad Salem and maybe Brian Lewerke, because I just think him and Stewart, I think the system just fits them perfectly, like I said at the beginning of the season. So they'll figure it out. I mean, that's not my big concern, because it's an inexperienced thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you hit a lot of good points, Tyler. I know you got to get rushing out of here. We'll see. I mean, it's wait and see. And, yeah, Michigan State can still do some big things. I'm not saying that the season's over. I'm not going to cry about it. But I just know that there's just so much to handle there. There's so much they need to do a better job of. And the Michigan's
and
the
like
same
I
way.
Said,
I mean, they get to the camp.
Like I said yesterday, you know, when I went live, Northwestern's a perfect opportunity for this. You're playing a team that handed it to you for the past three seasons. You just lost a game that you absolutely dominated. This Saturday is going to tell you whether or not Michigan State's going to get over there, because if you don't come out there pissed off and hand it to Northwestern, then you can start looking at some potential long-term problems with this team. Right now, I don't think there is any.
Well, that's Michigan State in a nutshell. I mean, look, you know, to name drop Valenti and those guys, we listened to them. You know, we listened to some local guys, and they've made it very clear. Valenti's stance was it's either going to be an amazing year or an awful season. I think that's exactly where Michigan State is. You either get over this loss, it's a terrible loss, and I know that they'll work hard. They're not going to quit. We know that. But this is either going to be a fantastic turnaround, or it's going to be an atrocious season for Michigan State. I don't see nothing in between. I don't see 9-3. You know, I don't see 10-2. I see either unbelievably shocking the world, beating teams, maybe only losing to Ohio State and beating everyone else. So I guess, yes, 10-2 would be unbelievable at this point. If they lose a couple more games, like to a Northwestern, Penn State, good luck. Terrible
Wisconsin,
season ahead.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just a bad schedule. Michigan's in the same boat. Both schools are so similar, it's scary. It's scary. And Michigan, good luck. I can see them losing by 2 touchdowns this weekend. I don't think they're ready. I think that they have a quarterback controversy, which is a joke. I think they need to make that decision now and put McCaffrey in. He makes more sense for that offense. If you want speed and space, he's the faster quarterback. He's the more physical quarterback. Just make the move. And it sucks because I think Shea's a good quarterback, but he's not better in that offense. So, you know, hey, it's a long season. We can take a deep breath, but the standard's got to be higher. And just imagine if these things were taking place in Ohio. Oh man, people think we're bad. Oh, Ryan Day would be fired in 2 weeks. You know, that whole offensive staff would be gone. And that's the standard, though. Ohio State's in a class above themselves, and us Michigan folks just can't seem to figure it out. And it's sad. But, hey, by the way, go Lions. The Lions win. I hate to bring up the Lions on this show, but, hey, Lions won. Got to feel good about it. I feel better today on Monday now. I already feel better. Tyler has no thoughts on that. Zero thoughts on Lions. Good.
Yep.
Again, so trouble. Look, man, I know you got to get running. I appreciate Ty. Great feedback. As always, we'll get back on. We got some really exciting news coming up soon with the show. I know a lot of people are really enjoying this. This name change was perfect. It makes most sense possible. Hey, a lot of complaining, a lot of things that we're unhappy about, but hey, we're still going to support the teams. But guess what? Have thick skin if you're the coaches. You make a lot of money. You make a whole lot of money, and we pay money for cable TV and parking tickets, parking passes, whatever Tyler's got, season tickets every year. Yeah, I'm going to stand up for that and be a little disappointed if we can't score more than 7 points. I'm sorry. It's just going to happen. But, Tyler, I know you'll keep showing up. We'll keep showing up, and we'll just see what happens.
Oh, I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there.
He will be there. Tyler is the guy for Michigan State football and basketball. We do need to add some basketball stuff, so thanks again, Ty. We always do this show. I mean, this is episode 47 just on this platform. I've seen it today, and it's pretty amazing because we've probably done hundreds of shows on other platforms, and we'll continue this. Tyler's done great on live. Definitely check out Facebook page that we have Trouble with the Snap podcast. We've been going live more. So, yeah, I know I'll let Tyler get off here now. But, it's just for me as a Michigan State fan, you got to sit there and wonder why in the world are these things happening on offense? Why? It's incredible to me that they can't seem to find a way to score in the red zone. And, you know, Tyler made good points. Look, Brad Salem's called a good game. And there was some good stuff against that 3-3-5. The problem is, when you get closer where it matters the most, you have nothing designed that makes sense to get your talented players the football. And it's just head-scratching. And people can get mad at me all you want. Oh, it's not all on the coaches. Mark D'Antonio made that very clear. It's not all about the coaches. Well, you know, here's the problem, bud. You're playing a middle-of-the-road Pac-12 football team at home with talented players. You just scored 50 on Western. You should be beaming with a little bit of confidence. Put your players in the right spot. Get the job done. And they're just not continuously calling bad stuff. They continue to put the wrong players on the field. And it's just sad because that defense is just so good. The defense is so good. They're fun to watch. It's inspiring. Offensive staff, do yourself a favor and the team and the fan base and the university. Figure it out. Figure it out on offense. Do what you got to do. Maybe watch some film. Do they even watch film? Do the offensive coaches say, here you go, guys. We're going to go out there and we're going to score points. Tyler said that 3-3-5 is always hard to go against. And figure out how to go against it. You know, honestly, it's a 3-3-5. You could probably run the ball more. I mean, they did run the ball 35, 36 times, but they never ran it in the right times. They got down there close. They ran with Elijah Collins. Boom, touchdown. Played physical, Sparty football. It worked. Use what you got. Use what works. Make it happen. No more excuses. So we'll see. You know, it's shocking. I didn't even get into the timeout debacle. I don't want to. I don't want to go in the Mark D'Antonio rant about timeout usage and calling timeouts when the clock's already stopped. Okay, well, that was boneheaded. We already know that. I get it. This is shocking. This is shocking to lose this game, and they better figure it out quick. Michigan better figure it out as well. Wisconsin this weekend, 12 noon kickoff, and in Madison at Camp Randall, good luck. I don't think they're going to get it done. If they do, hey, I'll be glad to come on the show and say I was wrong. Jim Harbaugh, khaki pants, got it done. Won a very meaningful road game. Congratulations. That's one step. Do it again. Do it again. The expectations are high. You make a lot of money. You brought in a new hotshot old coordinator who apparently is that guy to take you to the top. The players keep saying, it's coming. It's coming. This offense is going to be high octane. Okay, well, we're waiting. We're waiting. And I don't like to complain about players. That's not my thing. I'd like to know what the coaches are doing and what they're thinking. So, again, hey, thanks for tuning in. Comment on the link. Comment on our page, Trouble with the Snap Podcast, documenting all Michigan State and Michigan football and basketball. We'd like to just add a little bit of Lions talk, but it's not going to happen often. This show is not a platform for that, but we will talk about, hell, they won or, oh, they lost. Hey, I'm excited that the Lions won. A lot of people are crying. Don't cry about a win. Jeez, doesn't happen very often. Be excited. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Trouble with the Snap Podcast. And I got a trouble understanding what the heck this Michigan State offensive coaches are doing.